Our Old Testament lesson was a part of the opening responses. Our second reading is from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, the third chapter, and we read verses 1 through 12. Paul speaks of the Gentiles, which is representative of most of us, for anyone who is not of Jewish descent is considered a Gentile. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery, hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access confidence through our faith in him. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter, beginning at verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, 'You, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they'd offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen." My text is taken from your gospel lesson for today. When Herod the king heard this, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born a king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose. We have come to worship him." This is our text. Congress is back in session. And typically when Congress convenes, it's opened by an invocation, led by numerous individuals, and I've actually known a few people in my lifetime who had the privilege of opening Congress. They don't place great restrictions upon what the speaker says. Sometimes you get very great prayers. Sometimes not. Recently, when Congress reconvened, one of the sometimes not instances occurred. I won't read to you the whole thing, but it was closed in this manner. "Now and evermore, we ask it in the name of the monotheistic God and the God known by many names and faiths, a man and a woman, amen, and a woman." What's the point? If you don't know who you're talking to, why say anything? Especially when you're going to put on grand display your ignorance of the Hebrew language, and the fact that amen has nothing to do with gender. But that's the state of affairs today. And I'm quite sure that people from both political parties, at least a few, maybe many, thought that was a good thing. You see, we live in a world today, and actually the world has always been this way. When Adam tried to redefine God himself as a liar, selfish at that. Ever since that first fall into sin, man has wondered about what God is because he doesn't know the true God anymore. Nor on his own can he discover him. That's a fact. That's why there are so many religions in the world, so many different faiths. Because we who are born with original sin, who are born lacking a knowledge of the true God, because of that sin, can't find him on our own. So the question is a question of epiphany. If you don't know what the word means, it means revealed. You might have noticed when I was reading the epistle lesson, I kind of accented the number of times that the word revealed was used in that. Paul became a missionary to the Gentiles. In fact, he became a Christian, not because he found God on his own, but because God found him. It wasn't a him at that point in human history. One particular hymn really expresses the essence of how we come to know God. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost." Listen carefully to the next phrase. "But now am found. Was blind, now I see. We don't find God. And again, if you look at the confusion about what God is that exists throughout all humanity and has existed throughout all the ages, isn't it obvious that on our own we can't find him? But is that what God wants? Does God want to remain hidden from people? Does God want it to be impossible for us to have any knowledge of him, any certainty? If there is an ounce of love within God, as he looks down upon this messed up world, do you think he would leave us that ignorant about who he is, how he could help us? Epiphany. You know, outside of Easter, it was the first Christian holiday. Came into existence long before celebrating Christmas. You know, the 12 days of Christmas. It actually marks the time from Christmas to Epiphany, though after Christmas we usually stop singing it. And historically, if you look back on the celebrations of Epiphany, the first ones were not so much concerned with the visit of the wise men to Jesus. It was the baptism of Christ that usually was the focus. The wedding at Cana was another one, the first miracle of Jesus, where he, in the words of the Gospel of John, revealed his glory as his ministry began. The visit of the wise men also eventually came to be discussed and part of Epiphany, as well as the birth of Jesus. If you noted in the hymn we just sang, all those different topics were discussed. They're all examples of God saying to the world, I want you to know who I am. And since you can't find me, I am going to show you who I am. He utilizes the heavens themselves as a star, led foreigners to the city of Bethlehem. Interestingly, when the wise men arrived in Jerusalem, looking for the king of the Jews, because God had revealed his birth, he also revealed where he was to be born. The chief priests and scribes of the day knew it. They weren't paying attention. But when asked, they could say directly to the three wise men where he would be. And again and again and again, throughout the ministry of Jesus and indeed throughout all history, God kept revealing himself to the prophets, to the apostles, through the word of Scripture that we have. If you ask most people today, can you be sure or certain about who God is? In most instances, people are going to tell you, no, you can't. They believe in a God who has chosen to hide himself from mankind. They believe in a God who doesn't want us to know who he is, despite all that is so wrong in this world. But my dear friends, we have good news for this world living in the darkness of sin. Not knowing what God is, how he can help us. We believe in a loving God who wants to be known. And down through the ages, kept on telling his people just that. Who wants to be known so much that one day he took on human flesh. He came to this earth. And in person, in the flesh, described who he is. And then one day, that we might fully understand the depths and the riches of his love and his mercy and his compassion, he willingly chose to go to the cross to give his life for you and me. And we might not only know his love and his forgiveness, but one day look forward to knowing him in person, in the flesh. We are resurrected from the dead to live in eternal glory, home he has built for all his people. Today we celebrate Epiphany, even though it was on January 6th. And what we're celebrating is that God is not hidden. God has revealed himself. The person of Jesus Christ revealed himself to be a God of love and grace and mercy. I hope you reject the notion that a God of grace and a God of mercy, who interestingly was, those words were in that prayer that I briefly quoted from. But I reject the notion that a God of grace and a God of mercy would also be a God who keeps himself hidden, who shares so little about himself that no one can be confident of who he is, or even if Jesus Christ was his own son. Epiphany. It means revealed. We believe that in Christ, the fullness of God and his love for the world has been fully revealed. That through him we have forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life. That through following his word we can receive the blessings of his grace and his love. The world, by and large, today does not believe in that kind of God. God has chosen us like one day he chose the Apostle Paul to be witnesses to this world, living in darkness, to testify to God of grace who has been fully revealed. God, grant that in this dark world, you and I can be his lights. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.